Welcome to Maranatha Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Femi Fenoyo.
We have joined a series that I've been doing on Maranatha YouTube teaching channel titled The Bible. We have joined the series at the beginning of another season, which we have titled The Story of the Whole Bible.
We are looking at the Cain type of anger. We said there are times when anger can be right, but even then we have to be careful. If you are not part of the teaching last episode, please go back. Go back and have a listening. The thinking when we are looking at anger as a tool of assault, a tool of abuse, a tool of manipulation, the thinking of the angry man and the angry woman is like this. Somebody has hurt me. Somebody has wronged me. And I will make them pay. I will make sure they are punished. And the question that raised is, can we use our anger as a justification to play God? So what we're going to do now is to read Romans chapter 12. Remember, that was actually where we ended. I was about reading that scripture when I stopped. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 17 to 21, the New Living Translation. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friend, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their head. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Our anger must never be used as a tool of revenge. We need to understand that only God is the avenger. Even when we are in the right, our anger must never be a tool of revenge. Only God is the avenger. Yes, in some cases, God has delegated a degree of judgment and avenging to secular righteous authority and government that he has placed over us. And we should allow them to do their work. We will acknowledge the anger. We will acknowledge the hurt. But we will leave the job of allocating and executing vengeance and punishment to God and to the institution that God has constituted to do it. We know that human constitution can be corrupt, but the truth is that if every one of us is allowed to do what is right in our sight, if we are allowed to do what we deem fit in our own anger, then there will be chaos, there will be confusion, there will be no room for conviction and repentance of the sinning heart. No, we need to understand that the primary aim of judgment and justice is to, number one, deliver and protect the oppressed, the victim, but also secondarily is to offer opportunity of repentance and redemption to the oppressed. Now, this is the reason why in verse 20 of that Romans chapter 12 that we read, this is the reason why Paul quoted Proverbs 25 verses 21 to 22. To heap coal of fire on somebody's head is not really a personal vendetta or a revenge action by us, because that verse in Romans chapter 12 goes on to tell us that be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That is verse 21. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand that you and I, our right response to those who do us harm, number one, can de-escalate the situation and bring burning shame upon the offender. And hopefully through that, God can bring them to conviction and repentance. It doesn't always happen that way, but that is what God has called us to do. And our right response to those that harm us will also mean that we trust in the justice of God, that we trust God to do what is right. We trust God with our pain and with our anger. And also when we respond rightly to harm or to insult, when we respond rightly, we will allow God's own power and judgment to fall upon the perpetrator. First, for conviction, God will give them the opportunity to repent, but if they don't repent, God will administer judgment. God will pay back. That Romans chapter 12 that we read, God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God said, I will repay. So we have seen that there is righteous anger, and such anger is right. Even God commanded us to be angry. And that such anger, such command that God has given us to be angry, comes with great caution, comes with great warning. Because when we read the book of Ephesians, we've read it before, he said we should be angry, but we should sin not. And we should give no place to what? To the devil. Why? Because anger, even righteous anger, can easily deceive us and can be exploited by the devil. However, we have seen that Cain's anger was an even anger. It was a substitute anger. It was a substitute emotion. It was a distraction. It was a smooth screen. Cain was clearly in the wrong. There was no righteous burning fire in his heart. There was no righteous burning fire upon his altar of sacrifice. But there was in his heart an evil burning emotion of anger. In his heart, anger against God, primarily, like we saw in the last episode, then secondarily, anger against his brother. We are going to move on then, because the next question we are going to ask ourselves is this: will Cain conquer his anger? That's the next question. Or will his anger conquer him? So let us read Genesis chapter 5, and we are going to read verses 5 to 7. We are going to read first from King James Version. But unto Cain and to his offering, God had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now let's read this from Amplified Bible. But for Cain and his offering, God has no respect. So Cain became extremely angry and indignant, and he looked annoyed and hostile. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you so angry, and why do you look annoyed? If you do well, believing me and doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, but ignore my instruction, sin crouches at your door. His desire is for you to overpower you, but you must master it. First, despite Cain's evil and wickedness, the Lord in his mercy came to him. God came to him. God came to him. God came to talk to him. God came to reason with Cain. God came to instruct him, just like a loving father. God did not give up on Cain straight away. God came to Cain. God came to talk to him, to reason with him, to instruct him. Praise the Lord. And we've touched on that in the past. It is as if God was saying something to Cain. It's as if God came to Cain and said, Cain, you have been unreasonable. It's as if this is what God was saying here. You have been unreasonable here. What do you expect? I mean, do you expect that you will ignore and disobey God's instruction, God's clear instruction? Do you expect that you will disobey and break God's instruction and you will get away with it and you will be accepted? You should know better. You know better than that. You broke the rule of sacrifice, therefore you were rejected. That was the sense in which God came to Cain to talk to him. And God seems to be telling Cain, look, if only you will consider your ways and learn your lesson. If only you will retrace your step, God seems to be telling Cain. If only you will offer your sacrifice rightly and offer it with the right attitude, then like your brother Abel, you will be accepted. You also will be lifted up. Because that word accepted there means to be lifted up. And that was what God seems to be telling Cain in this conversation. Then after that, the Lord then told Cain the other alternative and consequences. God went on to warn Cain of the danger ahead. This is what we will read in the second part of verse 7. God warned Cain, and God said, look, Cain, if you continue to ignore my instruction and correction, second part of verse B says, And if you do not do well, but ignore my instruction, sin crouches at your door. His desire is for you to overpower you, but you must master it. That is from the book of Amplified. Praise the Lord. Now, this portion of our story has been interpreted in diverse fashion by commentators. This area we are going to go into now. What God said here in 7b, I'll read it again. If you do not do well, but ignore my instruction, sin crouches at your door. His desire is for you to overcome you, but you must master it. Now, the key to interpretation of Genesis chapter 4, verse 7b is to remember that number one, what we are reading in this verse are consequences to the phrase, and if you do not do well. So that is the foundation. God said, if you do not do well, and everything else that then God said after that is predicated upon that fact. If you do not do well. In other words, they describe what happened after and because of Cain's wrongdoing and sin. And therefore, the Bible says, sin crouches at your door. If you do not do well, sin crouches at your door. So God is here dealing with the fatal relationship that Cain has developed with sin. God here is not talking about the relationship between Cain and his brother. The phrase is, desire is for you to overpower you, but you must master it. That phrase does not refer to the idea of one brother authority or abuse over the other brother. No, that would be foreign to this context. God was not dealing with the relational issue between Cain and Abel. God was dealing with the relational issue between Cain and sin. So when God said, listen to me, His desire is for you to overpower you, was talking about sin, the sin that is crouching at the door. His desire is for you to overpower you. And God said, you must master it. Now, we are going to take a closer look now at this Genesis chapter 4, the second part of verse 7, because we have a lot to learn from this portion of the scripture about sin and righteousness. And what I've done here is I've put that verse into four steps. And what I've done is we are going to read from bottom up. Okay, don't let this confuse you. So I've put it into four steps, but remember we are reading from bottom up and we are going to see how the Lord will help us learn some lesson here. So let's have a look at this. So we are reading Genesis chapter 4, verse 7b from Amplify, and we have put them in four steps. The first step is God said, and if you do not well, in other words, if you ignore my instruction, remember that is the foundation in which the other three steps are built. God said, if you do not do well, but if you ignore my instruction, first step. Second step, sin crouches at your door. Third step, his desire is for you or to overpower you. And fourth step, but you must master it. What we want to do is to just place a closer attention to each one of these steps. And what we are trusting God is for us to learn some lesson. The first step is, but if you do not do well, but ignore my instruction. So God told Cain, and if you do not do well, or if you ignore my loving rebuke, if you ignore my divine instruction, or if you will not consider your way and retrace your step, or if you do not do good works and offer offering as it should be offered, or if you continue down this path of rebellion, if you continue down this path of evil and wickedness, God said there are dire consequences. That is the first step. God was warning Cain, and God is warning us that if we continue in the path of rebellion, of rejection of the Savior, God said there are dire consequences. So that is the first step. If we didn't listen, it triggered the second step. So what is the second step? The second step says sin crouches at your door. Remember what we are doing? We are looking at each one of these steps closely. God said, if you do not do well, If you continue to ignore my instruction, then sin crouches at your door, which will be the second step. Now, what does that mean? Sin crouches at your door. God warned Cain that sin is not a game. God warned Cain that sin is not a game. Sin is dangerous. Sin is deadly. That is what God was warning Cain about. Now, if you read Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, the Bible says there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Of death. The Message translation says that there is a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. And this is what we are looking at here. This is the warning that God was given to Cain. God said, look, sin crouches at your door. God was warning Cain that sin is not a game. Sin is deadly. Sin is dangerous. And God used a metaphor. When we read in the book of Genesis, sin crouches. That word crouches at your door. That word crouches is actually a metaphor of a wild beast stalking his prey that is going to destroy. So God is saying that sin is like a wild beast is stalking you. A wild beast, a lion that is, you know, stalking, that is prowling about looking for who it may devour. I like what a commentator interpreted this part of 7b. In fact, the old part of 7b, I'm going to read what this commentator said. He said, you could interpret it this way. God was telling Cain, and if thou doest not well and continue to cherish evil in your heart, then remember, the Bible says, sin, like a savage wild beast, is lying in ambush, ready to spring out upon you. In other words, this commentator said that word sin crouches at your door means, is here interpreted, sin like a savage wild beast is lying in ambush. And what are the intentions of savage wild beast? What are their intentions? That key us into step three. That triggers step three. What is step three? Is desire is for you to overpower you. So step one, and if you do not do well, if you continue to ignore God's instruction, step two, sin crouches at your door like a savage beast that wants to destroy. What does the beast want to do? To overpower you. His desire is for you. Now, let's look at what that means. His desire is for you to overpower you. Why is sin like a savage wild beast? Why is it laying in ambush? Why is it laying in wait? Sin is not laying in ambush to shake us our hand or to give us a friendly hug. No, no, no. Sin, like a savage beast, is waiting in ambush to spring upon people, to overpower them. Remember, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. A commentator made this life application to this part of this teaching that we are doing, and I'm going to read it. He said, the metaphor of sin as a wild beast, ready at any moment to spring upon and get the mastery of the man who will not make the effort to do what he knows to be right, embodies a deep spiritual truth. The evil passions, always ready to take advantage of the will that refuses to hear the voice of the better self, have often in literature been likened to a wild beast. And a wild beast does not come to rob you on the head. A wild beast does not come to give you a friendly hug. It has come to devour, to steal, to kill, and to devour. And this is the warning that God was given Cain. And this is the warning that God is giving us, that sin is not a game. That sin is like a savage wild animal that is crouching, that desire to overpower, that desire to kill, that desire to steal, that desire to destroy. And then that lead us nicely to the fourth step. God said, but you must master it. That is God's final instruction you must master it. That is what God told Cain. Now, Cain, as a farmer, must have fought against beasts of the field. You know, the beasts that want to come and destroy his flock. He must have tamed animals and yoked them to use them in his farming. And here God was charging Cain to rule over this wild beast of sin that is threatening to destroy him. And a commentator said this, and this is where we are going to end today. A commentator said, it is needful for all men, if they do not mean to be torn to pieces, to master the animal that is in them and the wild things that have been created out of them. I'll read that again. He said, it is needful for all men and all women that if they do not mean to be torn into pieces, we have to master the animal, this sin that is in us, this weight, this sin that easily beset us, and the wild things that have been created out of them. So God was warning Cain that a wild beast is at your door, is crouching, is ready to waste your life. And God said, you must get a grip, Cain. You must rule over it. You must tame this tiger. But the question is, did Cain tame the tiger of sin? Can we tame the tiger of sin? Can anybody tame this tiger? What should Cain have done at this junction? What should Cain have done for him to be able to tame this tiger? And we are going to pick it up from here next time by the grace of God. And if you are listening to me tonight and you are not born again, I want you to know that there is a way that seemeth good to human. But the Bible says that, look again, the end of it is hell. It's a place of destruction. But God does not want you and I to go to hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This evening, this night, you can ask Jesus to come into your life and be your God. And he will come. He will make you a child, a daughter, a son. He will take the heart of stone, the dead heart out of you, and give you a heart of flesh, give you his own spirit. You will become a member of his family, a friend of God. He will become your father, walk with you throughout the rest of your life here. And when this is all over, you will become a member. You will spend eternity with him in the new heaven and the new earth. Do it today. We sincerely invite you to check out our teachings on YouTube, Maranatha Teaching Channel. They will bless you. Thank you.